We're talking now with Jimmy Emmons. Jimmy, of course, soil health advocate, guru, if we want to call him that. That's all right for me to call you a guru, right?
Some do, yeah, so it's all right.
Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about where we are right now. We're finding ourselves here in the middle of drought. Texas, Oklahoma, but I mean, there's a lot of other states that surprisingly are short to very short on moisture supplies for their pasture ranges, and that's a big worry.
Yeah, from here to the west and north is tremendous drought. A lot of D4, a lot of D3 everywhere. Cow herds are being culled at an enormous rate right now, and so the market's feeling that pressure of that influx of cull cows and coming off. So this drought is significant. We've actually been talking to the drought monitor and Gary McManus this week about how that drought monitor looks at the situations, and some of us feel that we probably ought to be in a little higher category than we are, but there's been some showers in the area and different things, the data that they look at. So we're trying to see if we can get a better picture of that to them.
And of course, in this day and age, that matters because of how we do some of the risk management products.
Yeah, everything, not everything, but a lot of the data is based on the drought monitor and the number that you're in and how long you've been in that category as far as assistance and feed programs and different things. So it's very significant. Now, what we don't want to do is try to raise that just for that specific benefit unless the data is there. And so we feel like maybe the data is not being collected and shared the way it should be. So we're trying to help them collect better data on the ground.
I know that, you know, when we start talking about these type of conditions, a lot of people allude back to that 2011, 2012 time period, comparing that to today now. There's some things guys have got to do to try to survive.
Yeah, and here's the difference in 11 and 12 versus this drought. It came earlier, about 3 months into the season. So we haven't had the spring growth of grass. We had a cool period and then a dry period, and so our grass didn't get off to a very good start. And then we had flash drought, and then we had a little weather event. Anyhow, we're a lot further behind in time frame of the year cycle with this drought. So it's worse, so to speak, for the cattlemen and the summer crops than we experienced in 11 and 12.
When we start talking about those problems with forage, I know that, you know, this is something that you've looked at on your operation for years now, trying to build that soil to such a resilient position where it can handle some of these problems.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we just had a field day yesterday for the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation Service for their team talking about soil health. And so we were looking at some of our fields yesterday with cover crops and some grain sorghum and some fallow areas where we'd harvested some wheat and whatnot. What we're seeing is, you know, extremely tough conditions on any summer cover crops or cash grain crops and grain sorghums. They're really taking it on the nose here. But we still have a living root in the ground. Our water infiltration is still above where we would be if we were in heavy tillage scenario or a conventional system. So with promise of rain coming for several days here, we're prepared to take that water in and refill that profile here. We've exhausted a lot of that profile out trying to grow these crops and these covers for forages for these cattle needing it off these rangelands. So that resilience is there. You know, there's some saying, well, your crops is stressing just as bad as ours is now. And some of that is true. Some of that just, once you exhaust that profile so hard, but the key is, can we take that big rainfall event when it comes? You know, just north of us at Woodward a couple of weeks ago, they had 4 to 6 inches in a matter of a very short period. So that's how critical this water infiltration is in soil health and building that where we can take them big events and store that for later.
So walk us through the concept of being able to build that soil's ability to absorb moisture.
So it's all about the aggregate stability, the aggregate size. So that's the particle in the soil that has the carbon attached to it. So as you lessen disturbance on that field, you don't crush that aggregate. So it's kind of like a good friend of mine done a very good scenario where he took a Captain Crunch and he poured milk in it. And, of course, it flowed down through the Captain Crunch cereal very easily. That's the way the soil should work. But if you crunch that up into more of a smaller particle, then the milk tends to stay on top and then soaks down slowly. It's the same way in the soil. So you got to think about that aggregate size and stability. As you build the health, the microactivity puts carbon to that aggregate size and helps build it. And so that gives it the ability to be more porous so that it can take the rain in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the that's a short analogy, but that's how you build that status where that you can help influence that infiltration rate.
How are they successful? What do they successfully do to improve the water resilience, the retention ability of their pasture land?
Well, it's all about herd management and pasture management, keeping them cattle on the move. Don't just put a stocking rate out there and go see them and leave them there. You got to have take half, leave half, so you have that mulch, that shade that keeps that temperature down, so that plant has the best opportunity for life as well. And for a rancher, it's very hard to see standing grass in a drought when you need forage. You know, you want to take more than that. But as you do, you start destroying that soil as well with that high impact and this temperatures. We took soil temperatures yesterday out in rangeland and cropland where it's bare, and these extremes are going to see 130, 40 degrees. I don't know if you saw it the other day, but actually at Little Sahara, they cooked hamburgers in a glass jar on the sand out there at 146 degrees. So that's how you really affect the surface of the biology and the plants that's trying to survive in 140-degree temperature. If we can keep that grass residue up there, keep that shaded, we can keep that well below 100 degrees in the 85 to 95 degrees. Ron, 30 to 50 degrees is a significant difference in them two scenarios. And you and I both are standing here in the shade today. If we move out here into the sun, we're going to feel a lot hotter. And that's the way these plants and that microbiology below ground feel. So we just got to think about that about range management and how we leave that other half there to grow more grass.